Okay, we're looking at the fivefold ministry. We're actually on page 5 of the study guide. And we've looked at the apostle and prophet, evangelist and pastor. And what we want to look at now is the teacher. Let me just preface that with this. Everybody teaches somebody. Okay? So to some degree, everybody is a teacher, but we're talking about a gift given to the body of Christ. Okay? Not everyone who teaches is a gifted teacher. You see, and it's the same way with music. You can have a gifted musician or a skilled musician. You can learn the music. You can learn, teach. You can be educated. And it's like one of the qualifications for an oversight of a church is, if you look at the King James Version, it says, apt to teach. That's not gifted in teaching. In other words, if you're going to oversee a church, then you need to know enough about the Word of God that you can get skilled in teaching to where you can stand in and fill in the gap, so to speak. You with me? But when we're talking about a gifted teacher, it's something you're born with, and you it doesn't matter what setting you're in. You're a teacher 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's what we're talking about, a gift, the gifted teacher. And actually, if you look at the Greek word, it's didaskalos, which where we get didactics. It's translated as teacher, and it has a real simple definition. It's an instructor. So what's a teacher? He's an instructor. I don't see professor in the Bible. My daughter and I were laughing about that the other day, you know, some professor so-and-so. I said, what's a professor? No, we're talking about a teacher, someone who instructs. And in ministry, a teacher is a person with a supernatural ability to explain clearly and effectively the truth of the Word of God. Have you ever sat in under some ministry, whether it's a Sunday school class or whether it's in a sanctuary, whatever, and when you walk out, you wonder what they said? That's not gift. Okay? So it's a person that can effectively bring forth the truth of the Word of God. And the teaching of gift, again, is not the result of education or skill. It's a supernatural gift given by God. However, the gift can be and should be developed. Just because you have a gift doesn't mean you know it all. You understand? It means you have the ability to communicate things that you do know. Now, the ideal thing is to know more so you can communicate more. And so, a teacher is going to be one that does a lot of study. He's going to spend time in the Word of God, and then the result of that is they have information to give to other people. You know, it's, to me, you study to apply. And then you're just teaching what you've learned to do. Does that make sense to you? You're not studying to teach somebody. You're studying to learn. You study to show yourself approved to God, not to people. You follow me? And so that's exactly the way this gift operates. This gift is wanting to know God in a greater way and consequently share God in a more effective, efficient way. And it's like a pastor gift, the teaching gift, has to exercise a lot of patience as you instruct, understanding that different people learn at different paces, some more easily than others. And, you know, one of the interesting things about me is I don't necessarily just catch on to everything like some people do. I want to digest it. I want to analyze. I want to think about it. And to where I have a working knowledge of it by the time I get it in, that I know how it works. That's just who I am, you know. And so I want to get in and know what God's Word says to where I can apply the Word of God. If I know it enough to know how to apply it, then I can probably tell somebody else more effectively. What do you think? Rather than just echoing something that you've heard. And honestly, that's what much of preaching and teaching is. It's just duplicating what other people have already said. And I was listening to a guy on the radio. I mean, this guy was, I mean, he's preaching on the radio every day, daily broadcast on the radio, and he's always quoting what somebody else said. And I was listening to him one day, and he was actually quoting the Bible, but he gave the credit to an individual. And I said out loud, man, don't you know the Bible says that? Quote the Bible instead of quoting the person. Know the Word of God. Get the Word of God active in your life, and then you tell people what God said, not what the brother so-and-so said. Anyway, that's just a sore spot with me. I want people to tell me what God says, but I want God to have said it, not just them put some little phrase in there. Unlike an evangelist who proclaims, the teacher is one who explains. Proclaiming can be brief and very concise, but explaining requires much more time because explaining gives details. I look at for instance, the evangelist as the headlines of the newspaper and the teacher as the detail of the newspaper. You get the impact, but then you have to get the details. And generally speaking, proclaiming is an impactful thing to get people's attention and often to make a decision. It's like converts versus disciples. You know, you can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. A person hears the gospel of Jesus Christ. They respond to that message. They get born again. But what's going to happen to them after they're born again? Jesus didn't say go into all the world and make converts. He said make disciples. Okay? But it starts with a convert. And so I can appreciate all of the ministry gifts, and we have to learn to appreciate one another. There's a time for proclamation. There's a time for explanation. And you don't want to get the two confused. If you have 15 minutes to deliver something, you're going to proclaim. And if you're trying to explain, you're not going to get very far in a 15-minute time period. And I've actually been asked to speak at a church and Sunday morning, and I was told you have 12 minutes to present the message. I said, Lord, please help me. No introductions, no anything. You understand? You don't use small talk when you have 12 minutes. You better open up and give what you can as quickly as you can and as efficiently as you can to where you send them the truth. And it's amazing what you can say in 12 minutes. That can be very impactful if you listen to the Spirit of God and just let God lead you. Then it's the same way with teaching. You teach in more detail, and you think, well, I have an hour here, and I just have enough material for 30 minutes. But if you'll follow the Spirit of God, and you listen to the Spirit of God, you're actually teaching yourself while you teach other people. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit will just bring things to your remembrance that you hadn't planned on saying that. I will say things that I didn't even know. You understand? I heard it when you heard it. And it's the fact of just yielding to the Holy Spirit. But don't just go with the philosophy, well, I'll just open my mouth and God will fill it. No, that's sort of idiotic. Now, you study the Word of God. You get the material in the reservoir. Fill the reservoir. The more you get in the reservoir, the more the Holy Spirit has to pull out of the reservoir. It's not a fact of you memorizing. You may not even know you know it, and all of a sudden that comes out of you, and you remember looking at that or reading that or studying that or whatever. You with me? So then this is the supernatural side of it. And to me, this is the difference between just a skilled teacher and a gifted teacher. I've seen it. I mean, we're not talking about, when I'm talking about this gift, I'm not talking about just the church, just in the church. I'm talking about in secular work, in education. You know, I've been around a lot of people that had the title teacher, but I'm going to tell you right now, there wasn't enough evidence against them to hold up in a court of law. They're just there maybe babysitting, or they're not teaching. Now, I remember when I was in college, I was in this particular man's class in physics, and obviously the guy knew what he was doing. He just didn't know how to communicate it. And the algebra teacher I had also taught physics, and so if I had a question, I would go ask the algebra teacher, because he was a teacher. He had the gift. He could communicate, and I could actually understand what he was saying. Some people are sharp. I just wasn't the sharpest tack around, you understand? So I needed someone that could communicate with me. And so that's gift. He's the gifted teacher, and he doesn't. I don't even know if he knew the fivefold ministry, if he knew that there was such a thing. But yet he was operating with the gift teacher. And so when we're talking about the gift can be used in different settings. You can use your gift for God, or you can use your gift to make a living, or you can use your gift to get rich or whatever, which so many people do. You understand? You see this really in the music industry, or in where people are just gifted speakers, and you know, they're real charismatic, and they make you know, if you want me to come speak for you, then it's going to cost you a few $1,000 for me to do a 30-45 minute session. What are you doing? You're prostituting yourself. You're selling your gift. And that's not what God is wanting. God gifts people. We're gifted in various ways. Everyone's gifted some way, but we're gifted in different ways. We have to understand that and appreciate all the gifts. And so, whatever that is, understand it has to be developed. Even if you're a gifted musician, you have to develop it. If you're a singer, you have to develop these things. And the more you apply yourself to learning and practicing, then the more proficient you become in the thing that God's called you to do. Okay? And so, I've sat in only God knows how many Sunday school classes, and a lot of them was just bored. You like bored a hole in the wall or something, you know. I mean, it's just, you're just buying time. You just, you know, go ahead and get out. They go in. It was obvious they hadn't studied the lesson, and they're sort of, you know, ad libbing as they go along, just trying to get through. But then there's been occasions that I've sat in classes and I think, I learned something today. I actually learned something. There was a communication taking place today, not just talking, but there was actual instruction given. And that's what gifted teaching does. It actually gives usable instruction. You follow me? And so, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, are gifted people given to the body of Christ. Each one is unique in its own gift. Now, I want to talk about these in the order and relationship of the fivefold ministry. 1 Corinthians 12:28. In Ephesians 2:20 and Ephesians 4:11, suggest an order in fivefold ministry. If you would, Michaela, let's look at 1 Corinthians. God has set some in the church. First, apostles. Secondarily, prophets. Thirdly, teachers. After that, miracles. Then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? What's the obvious answer? No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Are all workers of miracles? No. Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? Now here I must put this in. This is talking about manifestation gift. It's not talking about being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. And people pull this out of context. You understand? This is speaking for God, not to God. Okay? But covet earnestly the best gifts. And yet I show unto you a more excellent way. I don't like that word covet because that trips people up. They say, well, the Bible says not to covet. There it tells you to covet. No, it's talking about earnestly desire the best gifts. What's the best gift? What's needed at the time? Right? Be content in your anointing. Do you remember what anointing is? You just took the test. Anointing is what you're set apart to do. So you be content in what you're set apart to do. If somebody over here is set apart to be an apostle, he should be content in that. Paul said, I magnify my service. That's the correct translation, not office. Okay? So what is it? He is very content in what he's doing. Well, we should be very content in what we're doing. That doesn't mean everything's smooth sailing. That doesn't mean that, oh boy, so everything's going to be real glorious. I'm going to tell you, sometimes teachers, my daddy used to say, is like pulling hen's teeth. You get in certain settings and where there is no draw, and it's like you're having to pull every word out, and then you walk out and you think, did that even make sense? It was so hard. And yet there's other times that it just flows because there's such a pull. The audience doesn't have a clue how great a role they play in what occurs in a service. You put a demand on the gifts of God and you watch God stand up and answer that demand. And he's going to do it through the various gifts. And none of us have a corner on the market. You understand? So, let's go to the next one there in Ephesians 2:20. It says, let's back up to verse 19, I think. Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the cornerstone. Built upon the foundation. Now, we're talking about order. You put the foundation down before you build a house, right? So, the apostle and the prophet are paving the way for the house to be built. If you follow me. And then Ephesians 4:11, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers. And he did that for a purpose. Now, just to give you a real concise definition, this is mine, okay? The apostle sets the course. The prophet exhorts people to get on course. The evangelist leads people to the course. The pastor maintains people in the course, and the teacher instructs people to mature in the course. You've got it in your study guide. You can read it, okay? When you violate this order, it brings confusion to the body of Christ. Consequently, it's imperative that each of the fivefold ministry gifts operate in the ministry that God called them to do. Let's do it in due order. Without breaking rank. Respect one another's gifts. You understand? And let God be God. Let Jesus be the head of the church. And sometimes I can see myself like a, I'll humor me here, as a conductor of an orchestra. You understand, he's not playing the instruments. But he's just, you play. Now everybody play. You understand? And when everybody is playing their instrument right, it's a beautiful sound. Especially when their timing's right. And everything's going well. You understand? Well, this is the way the gifts are supposed to operate. Jesus is the one that's orchestrating how all these things go. It's not a one-man show as we've seen in the past. Everything is well, the pastor's supposed to do everything. That's what we paid you to do. Don't you ever tell me that. I had a lady to tell me that many years ago. We got the record straight in a hurry. I'm not a hireling. Understand? I told her, you can't hire me and you can't fire me. I work for somebody higher than you. I didn't come here for the money. I came here because God sent me here. You understand? That's the way all the gifts should be. Local churches often bypass the apostle and prophet ministry. They attempt to build a house without the proper foundation. People are just looking for somebody to make them feel good, make me feel good about myself, not confront me with truth. And you'll find that really all these ministries should confront you with truth. But probably the apostle and prophet would be more abrasive in the confrontation. I was just listening to a testimony or someone was giving a report on the minister that he went to a person's house that was sick, a church member. And a lady, and he asked her, what are you doing in bed? She said, my thorn in the flesh. He said, you that holy? She said, well, God's afflicted me. He said, God doesn't afflict you. He said, the sin of your self-righteousness has afflicted you. Pastors usually don't say that. You understand? But what do? You confront a person with truth. Get their mind right. Get it in line with the Word of God. That's how you're going to help them. You raise them up when they listen to the Word. Truth liberates. You understand? And that's what we should be doing, liberating people with the truth of the Word of God. So we need all these ministries operating in the local church. And I like to see different gifts operate, but I'm not just going to open it up so there's a parade ground. I have a responsibility. It's not a place for exploitation. To me, when you come in and you come into the house of God in a time block in the sanctuary, then God's to be the one that's saying. God's to be doing the talking. God's to be doing the ministry. And so that's the thing of the Spirit, not of the flesh. And so it's a delicate balance to keep the door open to Jesus and closed to flesh. And Satan operates through flesh. And Satan operates as a minister of righteousness. You understand? It may look and sound good. You with me? So you have to be alert. So there's responsibility that goes when you stand as a representative for the Lord. Give the truth. Each ministry gift is distinct in its operations, distinct in its purpose. So the gifts have to cooperate together. And it's amazing over the years, how much competitiveness that I've seen among ministers. And that's as foolish as you can be. God has not called me to compete with anybody. You understand? We're actually to complete. So any gifts should be completing each other, not competing with one another. If we all work together, we can get the job done. One person can't do the job alone. You understand? It takes all of us working together, and so that means we have to cooperate with one another. That doesn't mean we're going to work side by side. You understand? I mean, there's ministers that you can appreciate that God uses them. They get things done. But I know that I won't work with that person. As a matter of fact, I've told some people, you know, that our vision's not the same, you know, and so I don't feel like that we can work together because our vision's not the same. Well, I'm not going to go out and talk about you and all the other things. If God called you to do what you do, and you do it with all the gusto you got, but that's not what God called me to do. I have to stay true to my vision, and I expect you to stay true to your vision. You with me? And in a local church setting, God, if this thing works like it should work, God is the one that gives the vision for the church. Okay? Then the people that come to that particular local church setting I'm talking about, then the people that come there should be sharing in that same overall vision, yet they will have individual vision, so to speak. In other words, God has put something in your heart to do a certain thing, okay? But if your vision must fit within the vision of the church. God didn't send you there to change the vision of the church if you're not the oversight. I'll tell you that right now. And so if your vision can't be fulfilled in that vision, go where it can be. You'll be happier, and things will run smoother for you, and it'll run smoother for the overall operation. Do you understand? And so we have to be sensitive to that. Is this a place that I can do what God's called me to do? Is my gift one that this vision needs? You understand? Then flow with that. Now, when everybody is operating toward that same goal, toward that vision, well, things run smoothly. But when you get in and this person, well, I think we should do this, and I think we should do that, and you need to tell Pete we ought to do this or we ought to do that. They'll abuse your wife, and I just told her, and I said, tell them that this office doesn't have a back door, and that you have no more clout with me when it comes to the church than they do. Get it established. Okay? Because if it's legitimate and you're not trying to climb in some other way, you're going to come through the door. And anybody that doesn't come through the door is a thief and a robber. Why am I on this? I'm just telling you. You be sure that you're where God set you. He sets the members in the body. But a lot of people come into church that are not members. They're thorns. They'll penetrate the body. But what does it do? It irritates, doesn't it? Until that thing gets out. Okay? So not everyone that comes in to a local assembly is set there by God. Some of them are just there to disrupt. You see it in Jesus' ministry. There's some came to hear and be healed, and some came to criticize. Some came to trap him. Some were trying to get him in trouble with the religious elite so they could get him killed. Those things haven't changed. That's why he says, know those who labor among you. All that glitters isn't gold. You understand? That's why you better listen to the Spirit, not listen to the, don't follow your natural eyes and your reasoning and all these natural instincts. You listen to the Spirit of God. God said. Remember that? And you know what? He doesn't ask me as it pleases Him. As it pleases Him. Well, if it pleases God, I should be pleased. Amen. So, the fivefold ministry is gifted people given to the body of Christ for the purpose of properly aligning and maturing the body for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. So, when the fivefold ministry's main objective is to focus on getting the saints mature to the point that the saints can do the work of the ministry. That doesn't mean they can't preach salvation message. That doesn't mean they didn't get people saved, healed, delivered, or whatever. That's not what that means. In the process of that, they should be maturing the saints as well. That's where their focus is. The fivefold ministry is gifted people given to the body of Christ. The body of Christ should respect and submit to the fivefold ministry. Now listen to me. Fivefold ministry is not to be worshipped. And I'm telling you, we're in a day and time to where people are just looking for an idol. Oh, did you hear this preacher? Did you hear that preacher? You got to hear this, and you've got to hear that. And they just run from one place to another. And they just... I better watch how I say all this. I just listened to somebody last night. I'll just put it that way. And emotions high. Place is rocking and rolling. You know what I'm saying? If I may board, you know, the people are they shouting, running, do whatever. And people walk out saying, man, that was a great service. Well, what happened? In other words, where's the substance? I understand that there's a time that people need to be free from oppression and things like that. But every service? And so they just... I want to grow. And running, jumping, shouting, it's not going to grow me. My mama used to say, it's not how high you jump, it's how straight you walk when your feet hit the ground. And I'm going to tell you, there's a ton of truth to all that. And so when I make a statement like that, people say that I'm against emotion. Everybody has emotion. It's just displayed in different ways. I'm saying don't use gimmicks to get people and to lure people. What have you done for them? And I honestly think a lot of preachers preach because of what it does for them, not for the people. They just get on a high. You know, just really, whoa, we had them doing this, we had them doing that. And that stuff turns me off. We didn't have them doing anything unless it was flesh done. If it's God, then you walk out giving glory to God for what God has done. Look what the Lord's done. Amen? So, the fivefold ministry, not masters. They're not to be served. The body of Christ is not slaves. We're all joint heirs with Jesus. And I'm telling you, we're in a time right now where there's a lot of demand, actually, to in some circles that I've seen, to where you respect me. You know, I'm it. don't touch me, I'm untouchable, and all that, you're just supposed to do what I tell you to do. Don't ever question what I preach. Just do it. Now listen, if I'm afraid of you checking me out and asking me questions, I have a major problem. You with me? Jesus walked with the crowds, not above the crowds. He was touchable. Fivefold ministry must be touchable. You understand? Don't put no entourage around you and make yourself an untouchable person. No, how are you going to minister to people if you're not even in touch with people? How was Jesus touched with the feelings of our infirmities? Because he walked where we walked. He experienced things we experience. And I'm telling you, a lot of people that will preach to you don't even know where you live. They start telling you how to do it. You haven't been there. You know, if you have more money than you can count, don't try to tell me how to manage mine. Because you're probably not managing yours. You just have an abundance that you can't spend it all. You follow the thing there. No, we have to learn to appreciate one another, appreciate the gifts, and let each gift operate. And if I want you to respect me, I must respect you. And so really, I should treat you the way I want to be treated. So if I talk it down to you, then I should expect you to talk down to me. And if I don't like people to approach me in a condescending way, I shouldn't approach people in a condescending way. You with me? And so we need to clean up the ministry to where it's actually following the character of Christ. I know I'm supposed to shut up, so I will. All right.